Often when we come to the close of a year and we begin to have a new year, we often think about how that we can improve and get better in various areas of our life. And when I think about the area of improvement, I think that there is probably no better area than that of our attitude toward God's Word and reading and studying and applying the Word of God. This evening, I want us to look at how that we can be better Bible believers, especially in the year to come, how that we can sit down with our Bible and be better at reading and studying and applying it and becoming such in God's sight that we're pleasing to Him because we're following His Word and His will. In the Scripture reading this evening, there are two opposed attitudes toward the Word of God. If you look at that 2 Peter 3 passage again, you'll notice, for example, in verse 16, there are those who twist the Scriptures to their own destruction. That, of course, is the wrong approach to Bible study, to Bible reading. They're twisting and distorting what they're reading. They're making it say something that it should not. The old English word rest means to twist. And then the opposite of that in verse 18, to grow in the knowledge of God's Word in a good way. And so we have those that open up the Word of God and they twist it, they distort it. We have others that open up the Word of God and they grow in the right direction. So how can we be those of the latter type in verse 18 that grow in the right direction? We don't want to twist the Word of God when we open it up. We don't want to destroy ourselves. Peter said, to their own destruction. But we want to grow in the right way. What are some steps that we can take? What are some plans that we can put into action? Well, if you'll turn with me this evening to James chapter 1, I'd like to use the book of James and a passage that he writes there in chapter 1, verses 19 through the end of the chapter, as our basis of study this evening to help us become better Bible believers. When we read James chapter 1, verses 19 to the end of the chapter, we're going to look at five principles this evening that apply to reading and studying the Word of God so that we can be better Bible readers and students and believers in God's sight. We're going to be reading about some principles of Bible reading and Bible study. And I hope that that will be beneficial to us this evening. There are a number of places that, of course, we could turn to in the Word of God that deal with reading the Word of God and attitudes toward the Word of God. But we want to focus this evening on some things that James has to say. Let's begin this evening by reading James chapter 1, verses 19 through the end of the chapter there, verse 27. James writes, "You know this, my beloved brethren, but let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, putting away all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deluding your own selves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened unto a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth away, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But he that looketh into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and so continueth, being not a hearer that forgetteth, but a doer that worketh, this man shall be blessed in his doing. If any man thinketh himself to be religious, while he bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before our God and Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." What are some principles that we can use that help us to be better Bible believers in the year to come? We all have Bibles. The Bible is a very popular book. It is sold in bookstores. It's easily available. Many people have Bibles around. But how can we open that up and read it, whether it be from Genesis to Revelation, and be better in our reading and in our study and in our application of it? Well, I'd suggest you, first of all, this evening, looking at James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, that the first principle would be that of always wanting to seek the truth. When we open up our Bible, we're wanting to seek truth. We're wanting to hear God. We're not going to be talking. We're going to be listening. And so in James chapter 1, verses 19 through 20, James says, "Let every man be swift to hear." That is, hear God's word. And so the first principle would be that of, I'm wanting to hear the word of God. I'm wanting to seek truth. And so the first principle that will help us to be a better Bible believer and reader in the year to come is to make time and be quick, be swift to hear. So let's be quick about making time to read God's Word. Are we swift to turn on the TV or to open up our Bible? Are we swift to get on the internet or open up our Bible? And so here's a principle to be swift to hear and slow to speak. And of course, we can apply this hearing, of course, to the hearing of God's Word. And so one of the principles that we need to put into place is that we make time for the reading and the study and the application of God's Word, and that we want to be quick about that and be prompt about that. I'm reminded, if you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 13, when Paul was preaching in the city of Antioch, there was a good attitude that was displayed there. He gets done preaching there in the synagogue, and of course, if you look at his sermon, he had been referencing some of the Old Testament passages and so forth. And we find in Acts 13 and verse 42, "And as they went out, they besought him, they begged him, that these words might be spoken to them the next Sabbath." We want to hear some more about this next week. Look at that great attitude. And of course, we're familiar with the Bereans in Acts 17 and verse 11, that they studied or examined the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. When Paul is in Athens in Acts chapter 17, after he had gotten done preaching about the resurrection, we find that one attitude was, some said, others said, "We will hear thee concerning this yet again." We want to hear more about this. So let's have that attitude of wanting to set aside a time to be swift to hear what God has to say to us. The Apostle Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:13 to give diligence to reading. And we might have the Tennessee magazine, or we might have some other magazine that we get in the mail, and we enjoy looking at that, and there's certainly nothing wrong with that. But we need to be giving time to the reading of God's Word. We need to be adding to our faith knowledge, the knowledge of God's Word. 2 Peter 1 and verse 5, and then the scripture reading that Scott had this evening, to grow in the knowledge of God's Word. Are we swift to hear? I'm a truth seeker, and I'm going to be quick and swift to make time to hear God's Word. And so let's make sure that we're using a reliable translation. We're going to look at these five principles, the first one being, seek the truth, be swift to hear. But after we mention the principle, I want to just mention some practical applications with regard to Bible reading. This idea of being swift to hear, are we hearing God's Word? I would recommend a translation that the committee, the men, are wanting to give us God's Word. They're not wanting to give us something else. If I'm going to be swift to hear God's Word, I need a translation that's going to help me in English understand what God is saying in the Hebrew of the Old Testament and the Greek of the New Testament. So there are some translations that work from a principle of, we want to give you what God's Word is saying in English. The King James, the New King James, the American Standard, the New American Standard, and a newer one, the English Standard Version, they're all coming from the premise of God is speaking through His spokesman, and we don't speak Hebrew or Greek, but we want to know what God said in those languages when we're translating that into English. We're not interested in smoothing that out. We're not interested in telling you what we think God meant and other kinds of attitudes that you'll even see if you'll read the preface. I've been trying to follow this, the last 10, 15 years or so in detail, and it's interesting that when folks translate Bibles, you can learn a lot about that Bible by spending some time reading the preface. And in the preface to some of these translations, they make it very clear, we're not necessarily interested in translating the word for word Hebrew or Greek. We're more interested in telling you what we think it means, or We don't want you to be bothered by word order and certain kinds of phrases. We want to smooth that out for you. And so they're very open about their theory. And so I would recommend one of these five translations. And look and read from something where it is an attempt to let us actually hear God's word. Another recommendation would be, since I'm swift to hear God's word, let me read that on a regular basis. Now's a good time to set a specific time and a specific place. I know that here is where I can sit down and read my Bible. And here is a time of the day where I can focus on, even if it's just a few verses, hearing God's word. I'm going to have a structured plan. There are Bible reading schedules that you can get online and other places. I would be flexible. There may be a time where we can't meet that time or that place. Be flexible enough to move that a little bit, but be regular. That's really the point. Swift to hear. I'm going to be quick to make time to hear God's word, and I'm going to make that a priority. And I'm going to pick up my Bible first before picking up a book about the Bible. When I was in that gospel meeting in Valdosta, Georgia, any of you who have traveled down to Florida on that interstate, you know that right before the Florida state line, there's that big sign that says, every book under $3. It's this big old used bookstore that Valdosta is known for. And you go in there, and there's just hundreds and hundreds of religious books everywhere. It's amazing how many people will pick up a book about the Bible and often be led astray by it instead of just picking up the Bible itself. Make a priority to be swift to hear God's word. Sometimes books about Bible matters have profit. Sometimes our brethren might write one of those and we can trust what he or she is saying. And there's a time and place for that. But always pick up our Bible first. Be swift to hear, you see. And so, I want to hear God's word. Use a reliable translation. Make it regular. Be quick about that. Make a priority on that. And pick up our Bible first before picking up a book about the Bible. Let's come back now to the book of James and look at the second principle. The second of five principles that we want to look at. The first one being we need to seek the truth. But let's look at this second principle, if you will. We're going to stay on track. In James chapter 1, James says, be swift to hear. Notice the second thing that he says in verse 21. Put away all filthiness and receive with meekness the implanted word. So the second principle that we're going to look at is we're going to stay on track. You know, when we go back to the book of Psalms, we see some of these same principles back there. We need to be swift to hear. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. I want to be swift to hear God's word. I want to dwell on it. I want to think about it all day long. These things that James is saying are nothing new. Even the psalmist in Psalm 110 mentioned these types of things. He wanted to hear God's word. I have more understanding than all my teachers. Come on down here. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. You get the idea that the psalmist is loving to be with God's word. That needs to be our attitude as well. Now let's look at this principle from the second principle from the book of James, and that is put away all filthiness. What do I mean by stay on track? Let's say that we start at the first of the year. Have you ever done this? You've got a New Year's resolution and you stay on it for about a week or 2 weeks, or maybe you get a month out of it, or maybe you get a couple of months out of it. It might be a diet, it might be exercise, it might be daily Bible reading. It could be a number of things. But what happens is something gets us off track. Something gets us off track. And so we've got to stay on track. But look at this second principle. Stay on track. In other words, don't let something of a sinful nature, an attitude or an action, get in the way and hinder us. Don't let something become a barrier that creeps into our lives and interferes with our Bible study. And so, putting away all filthiness and the overflowing of wickedness, receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Don't let something come in that's going to hinder the reading and the study and the application of God's word. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. Stay on track, in other words. Don't let a sin come up and creep in and get in and cause us to fall away from this regular Bible reading. It may be an attitude, it may be an action, it may be a habit that creeps in, and then we find that we're off track. We've got to put that away. 1 Peter 2, 1, putting away therefore all wickedness and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all evil speaking. As newborn babes, long for the spiritual milk which is without guile, that you may grow thereby unto salvation. So don't let something come in. Don't let something come in that gets in the way. Stay on track. Now, what if a sin comes up? What if a situation comes up? What if an attitude comes up, or a disposition, or a habit creeps in? Go to God in prayer and get that out of the way. Do the soul searching. Do the prayer. Clear up the sinful matter. It may be that I've got to go talk with someone. I've got to clear something up. I've got to get this out of my life. Anytime that there's a sin in my life, it's going to block that Bible reading and that Bible study. James says, put away all filthiness, and then you're able to receive with meekness the implanted word. You think about maybe getting a garden spot ready. You've got to get all those weeds out. You've got to get all that clutter out of there. You've got to have that fresh dirt so that the seed can go down in there and germinate and be planted and grow. We've got to get all of that out of the way that's going to hinder that growth. Stay on track. And sometimes that's hard to do in other areas of our life. We get something going. I want to do better in this area. I want to do better in that area. And so we have this resolution and we get going, and it goes well for a week or two, and then our daily schedule creeps in, or we add something, and we just get off track. And we find that it's just one of those New Year's resolutions that goes by the wayside. With regard to our personal lives and the Word of God, remove any barrier that might creep in. So, rather than just letting it go, I'm going to stay on track with my Bible reading, and if something comes up that day, I'm going to go to God in prayer, I'm going to get that out of the way, I'm going to repent, I'm going to change that, and then that very day I'm going to keep on track reading God's Word. Stay on track. It is so important. Let's look at our third principle found from the book of James. Turn back with me as we go down through the text. We find that these are some great principles that apply to reading and studying and becoming better Bible believers. The third one is seek the truth, stay on track, and then let's shape our thinking to be molded by the Word of God. The psalmist says, blessed are they that are perfect in the way, who walk in the law of Jehovah. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies. They do no unrighteousness, they walk in His ways. In other words, I'm going to stay on track. I'm going to not let anything get in the way. I'm not going to let unrighteousness get in the way. I'm going to continue walking in the law of the Lord. Does that mean that from now on I'm sinless? I never sin again? No, that means I'm going to get that out of the way, and I'm going to stay on track. Another principle is that we need to shape our thinking. Look at James chapter 1, and come on down to verse 22. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding your own selves. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened unto a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth away, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. I want you to look at that for just a moment. He forgetteth what manner of man he was. Let me ask you this. Do you remember what you read in your daily Bible reading? Do you build on that? Do you keep that around? Or is it something that is forgotten once you close the cover of the Bible? Let's talk a little bit about shaping our thinking. We need to let the Bible reading and study be cumulative. It needs to be something that we carry with us. Notice the phrase, he goeth away and forgetteth what manner of man he was. Bible reading is not, okay, I read a verse, I shut it, and then I go away and just let it go. I need to walk away from that, carrying that with me, not forgetting what manner of man I was, but remembering that and applying that. So the point is, let our Bible reading and study be cumulative. That just simply means you build on it. As you read something, and then the next day you read something, you build upon what you read the day before, and you put that all together. You go back and you look at it again, you build upon it. you pray for wisdom that you can put the, you know, two and two together. And so we're going to shape our thinking that God is going to control me each day through my reading. It's not just a mechanical reading where when I'm done I shut it and don't go back to it. But I build upon that. I don't want to, like looking in a mirror, walk away and forget what manner of man I was. So here's some suggestions. Take some time for review. Take some time for review. When I read something, use that sometime that day. Use it in a lesson. When we come together here at the building, use it in a comment in a class. Use it in teaching a class. Use it in a conversation with someone. It's not a matter of reading and then I forget, but I'm reading and I'm going to keep that with me. I'm going to shape my thinking with it, build on that. If you look at the phrase, forgetteth what manner of man he was, what James is saying is, he's not a changed person. He walks away and he forgets what manner of man he was. He's not a changed person. That's James' point. We're supposed to shape our thinking and be a changed person. And so in order to do that, we can't forget what manner of man. We're supposed to build on that and do that. And so that's why James says, be a hearer and a doer. You see, we're not just reading something and then unchanged by it. A lot of times in our Bible reading, sometimes we stress that idea of daily Bible reading and we get a schedule. I wonder sometimes in, you know, pressing through, you know, we got this much each day and this much each day and get it through. And there's certainly nothing wrong with a plan. That was our previous point. But are we pressing through at such a rate that we're not assimilating all of this, building upon all of this, putting all of this together, reviewing it, using it in our personal lives, using it to talk with others about it? It's just a matter of reading something and then we walk away and forget. Let's shape our thinking by it. Let's be changed by it. And some ways that we can do that is build upon what we're reading, go back and review what we're reading, and use what we're reading on a regular basis. Talking with others about what we've read. Sometimes an individual told me, I was reading today in my daily Bible reading. Well, they're sharing that with me. They're building on that. They didn't forget what they read. They want to talk with me about that. Talk with others about that. Use it in your conversations at work and other acquaintances where you have that. Let it shape your thinking, and hopefully we can shape others with it as well. The psalmist says, look at Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I laid up in my heart. This is the passage right after the passage that we sang in our songbook. How shall the young secure their heart? Right after that verse is verse 11. Thy word have I laid up in my heart that I might not sin against thee. In other words, I'm taking it with me. I'm not looking in a mirror and then walking away forgetting what manner of man I was. My thinking is changed by it. And I walk away and I take it with me. I lay it up in my heart. Don't let a Bible reading be something that I read and then I walk away, but I read and then I take it with me and I put it in my heart. Blessed art thou, Jehovah, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the ordinances of thy mouth. That's why I said earlier, when you get done reading something, talk with others about it. Look at what the psalmist says. I've declared thy ordinances with my mouth. Talk with others about it. It's shaped your thinking. You can shape the thinking of others. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on thy precepts. In other words, I haven't walked away forgotten, but I'm continuing to meditate on what I've read and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. And that's the point. James says, you don't want to be someone who looks into God's mirror, as it were, the perfect law of liberty, and then just walk away forgetting. Our thinking is shaped. Our lives are changed by this. I take it with me. I don't walk away and forget it. Shape your thinking with your daily Bible reading. Search the Scriptures. Let's look at the fourth principle that is laid down in the book of James. Search the Scriptures. In verse 24, James says, don't be someone who walks away and forgets. Look at verse 25. He that looketh into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and so continueth, being not a hearer that forgetteth, but a doer that worketh, this man shall be blessed in his doing. Look at that phrase, look. Look into the perfect law. Do you know that Greek word translated look is only found about 4 times in the New Testament? It's not found very often. And that word means literally to look intently into, to look carefully into. It is not a casual glancing. And 2 other places where it's used of those 4 places is when Peter and John came to the tomb. Turn with me to John chapter 20 in order to illustrate this. Let me ask you this. When you open up your Bible, whether it's a daily Bible reading or some other kind of reading, let me ask you this. Is it a quick glancing or is it an intent, careful looking at each word? Turn with me to John chapter 20. Do you remember when Peter and John are coming to the tomb? They've heard that Jesus is risen. Look at verse 5. John 20 and verse 5. Well, verse 4. And they went toward the tomb, and they ran both together, and the other disciple, John, outran Peter, and came first to the tomb. And stooping and looking in, that is this parakepto that's used by James. It means to stoop and look into the hole. He didn't want to get up there and just say, okay, Jesus is risen. He wanted to get up there, he wanted to look in. I want to see for myself. And you go on and read the parallel accounts. They saw the napkin laying in there. They saw the grave clothes. They wanted eyewitness, firsthand, careful examination. James says that he that looketh into the perfect law of liberty. It's not a casual glancing, brother. It is a, when I open it up, I am looking at those words. And stooping and looking in, he seeth the linen clothes. It may mean that we slow down in our reading. It may mean that we read out loud, but we're going to look at each word carefully, you see. Look at verse 11. But Mary was standing without at the tomb weeping. So she wept, and she stooped and looked into the tomb. Parakalypto. She stooped and looked into the tomb. It is a careful examination. To look with intent, the Greek word means. That's the very same word that James uses. And so our fourth principle is Bible reading, not Bible glancing, or just a quick, you know, surface perusal of the Word of God. We want to search the Scriptures, Acts 17:11. We want to give diligence in our study, 2 Timothy 2:15. That we give diligence, or one version says, study to show yourselves approved. Another one says, give diligence to show yourselves approved. So let's look at a few suggestions here that will help us to be better Bible readers and believers. Let's look carefully and concentrate on the words of our Bible. Let's take note of who is speaking, who wrote this book, and who's speaking at the moment. Who is being spoken to? Who's the audience? Is it a group? Is it an individual? What is the time period? In other words, I'm not just going to open up and just sort of read to be reading, but I'm going to be careful in my reading. And again, like I said earlier, sometimes these daily Bible reading plans that get you through the whole Bible in a year, I like the idea of structure. One of the downfalls to that might be that we're reading so quickly that we're not digesting what we're reading. We're just flying through the Bible. James said, he used this very specific word, he that looketh into the perfect law of liberty, you know, this man will be blessed in his doing and so forth. We've got to look intently. Do I know what I'm reading? Do I know the English words that I'm reading? Sometimes in teaching younger classes, a young person will read the verse and I'll ask, do you know what that word was that you just read? No, I don't know that. Well, let's stop and define that. Just get a good Webster's dictionary. I'm going to define the words. I'm going to understand what I'm reading. Am I reading literal language or figurative language? Am I reading a command, an example, a promise? What genre? That's just a big word that means what type of literature am I reading? Is it law, history, poetry, prophecy, parable? Is it something apocalyptic that uses vivid language like the book of Revelation or the book of Ezekiel? I'm going to take notes. I'm going to slow down. I'm going to write out questions. What does this word mean? How does this apply to me? Do you know one of the best ways to read carefully is to read out loud? Have you ever noticed that when you don't read out loud, your eye glances pretty quickly from left to right? You kind of just fly over that? Have you ever gone back and read out loud and found that you read that slower and you looked at those words more carefully? The idea is we want to look intently into the Word of God. Slow down. Maybe repeat. Read that verse. Read it again. You know what? You'll get something else out of that verse if you read it a second time. We might make use of a Bible study aid, such as a dictionary or a concordance or different translations, but it's the idea of looking carefully into the Word of God. It's interesting how much Bible confusion there is in the world, how much religious confusion there is in the world, because people are not reading carefully. And people have Bible doctrines. They promote Bible doctrines that are erroneous because they're not reading carefully. All over this town tonight, there is the religious idea that you're saved by faith only. But nobody has read their Bible carefully and slowly to where they see that that is not the case. We're not saved by faith only. And that idea of we're saved by faith only, that's just what man says, but we don't read that carefully in the Bible, and nobody's going to check that out, and nobody's going to ask, where did you get that? It's just we just accept erroneous things. And that's one of many, many examples that could be given. If we would read carefully and critically and concisely, and even if it means reading out loud, sometimes at home I will be sitting in my chair and I will read out loud to force me to look at each of those words. I would suggest that you do the same. It is very helpful. We want to slow down and know what we are reading. A lot of times I will try not to go any farther until I know each of those words. And if I have to get a dictionary off the shelf, I force myself to do that. It's slowing down looking at the Word of God. I simply want to offer those as suggestions to help us to be better. Don't do a casual glancing. Don't just look over some things or read over some things to get to the part that we want to look at, but read everything very carefully. And reading out loud certainly helps us to do that. And then last of all, turn with me back to the book of James. Well, before we do that, look at this matter in Psalm 119 and verse 18. Open thou my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. If you will take each word and know what you're reading and know the background to that, wondrous things just begin to jump out at you. Wondrous things begin to jump out. And we need to open our eyes. And verses that we've read for years will take on new meaning if we will slow down and look at things carefully, define things, and ask these kinds of questions that we talked about before. You know, who is speaking and to whom is speaking and the context and the background and that type of thing. Open thou my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. I enjoy listening to other men preach because it gives me an opportunity to sit there and read my Bible and listen and study. And a lot of times I'm saying, I didn't see that before, and I've seen that now, and we learn. And so looking carefully, looking critically will help us so much to become a better Bible believer. And then last of all, see it through. In the book of James, James closes with this thought. We've got to make it practical. We've got to put it into practice in our life. We've got to be a changed person. And so, see it through. And what I mean by that is, our Bible reading is not an end unto itself. If it doesn't lead to transformation, then we haven't accomplished what we need to do. It's not just a matter of being able to say, I read my Bible through in a year, or I'm on track with my daily Bible reading. If we have not been transformed, then we have not done what God wants us to do. And so, the last part there is, James says, be not a hearer that forgetteth, but a doer that worketh. This man, the doer, the one who applies it in his life, this man shall be blessed in his doing. Now look at verse 26. If any man thinketh to himself to be religious while he bridleth not his tongue. Here's a person who's claiming to be religious, but he's not applying the Word of God with regard to the tongue. Look at verse 27. Here's a person who's claiming to be religious, but they won't take care of the widows and the orphans, and they won't keep themselves unspotted from the world. They're not applying what the Word of God says on these things. It's not just a matter of thinking to be religious. We've got to show that in a transformed life. We have to have a pure and undefiled religion where we're actually applying God's Word in our lives. I think of Jesus' statement in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We've got to apply God's Word in our lives. Romans 15 and verse 4, the things written aforetime were written for our learning, and I would add application. In Ephesians 6 and verse 17, we're supposed to take up the Spirit of God. Turn with me to Ephesians 6, 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Have you ever had a sin or a temptation creep in on a particular day and wondered why it did that? Could it be that we didn't have the Word of God with us at that moment? We didn't have that shield of faith and that sword of the Spirit to quench. There's that fiery dart of temptation and sin, and we give in to that. Well, have we been reading our Bible? Yes, but we weren't transformed by it. It's not with us. It's not a part of us at that moment, and so we give in to that sin. We've got to be transformed. I like what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Turn with me there when he was talking about the second coming of Christ. It's not just theoretical and theological. The second coming of Christ is to be very practical and knowing that we're going to be caught up in the air with those who have died and gone on before. Look at what he says. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. There's got to be some practical value to it. You've got to apply it in order to comfort these people that are wondering where their dead loved ones are. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's not just simply an academic reading of the Word of God, but see it through all the way to the end of applying it in our lives. And until we've seen it through, we have not completed what God wants us to do. What is the Word of God? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it will take care of anything that we need on a daily basis. Profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, which is in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete. That's what God's Word is. And so, see it through all the way to applying that day, the day that you read, apply it in your life. And so, let our Bible reading and our study be applied. And it is not complete until we have applied it. I would suggest to make a point to get at least one personal application out of your reading. What can I take with me? When I close my Bible, what can I take with me? And then use what we've learned, like I said earlier, at the building, if we're in a class, if we're teaching the class or a student in the class, something that I've read I can share with others. Tell someone else what we've learned. In other words, we're going to see it through all the way to the transformation process. Turn with me to Psalm 119 and verse 18. Teach me, O Jehovah, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. There's your application. It's not just a matter of reading, but I want to keep this. I want to put it into practice. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. I don't just simply want to be a Bible reader or even a Bible teacher. I want to be transformed by it myself. Someone who applies the Word of God and observes it in my own personal life. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. The going in the path is the daily application in my marriage, in my family, at work, other places in my life. I'm going to follow that path of God's Word. Well, the lesson is yours. We talk about sometimes this matter of how can I be better? How can I do better? What are some principles that I can put into practice in my life to make me better? There's all kinds of books. In fact, I've got several. Better Bible Students, How to Study the Bible Better. The word better is in the title of a lot of things, and that's fine. But what's interesting is, long ago, God in His Word told us in His divine message of the book of James and other places, how that we can be better with the Word of God. Number one, let's be swift to hear. Let's go out and seek that truth. Number two, stay on track. Don't let a sin come in and be a barrier to my daily reading. Number three, let my thinking be shaped by the Word of God. I'm going to be shaped so that when I go away, I don't forget. I'm going to hold on to that when I go away. I'm going to look intently and carefully into the Scriptures, not just a casual glancing. I'm going to search those things. And then finally, I'm going to see it through all the way to at least one application. When I close my Bible, there's going to be at least one application that I'm going to go out and do that and be a better Christian in the sight of God. If there's someone here this evening that needs to begin to apply God's Word in your life, you can come and be baptized into Christ. It's not just a matter of opening up the Bible, but being a changed person by it. Somebody has said, what do you think the best Bible translation is? Well, when the Bible is translated into our life. And let's be a changed person. Let's be a transformed person by the Word of God. And if we can assist you in doing that, we're going to sing a song of encouragement. We're not promised of a tomorrow. Tonight, if that is the night that you need to make that change, do that. And as Christians here this evening, I hope that this has helped us in some way. Sometimes at this part of the year, we're looking for some steps on how that we might improve with the Word of God. I hope that these things from James will help us along those lines. If you're subject to the invitation in any way, why don't you come as we stand and sing?